Like she said, my name is Lisa Tobia. I work with the Center for Health Equity with, within Louisville Metro Public Health and Wellness. We were founded about 4 years ago by Dr. Adewale Chapman with the idea that you need to decrease inequities in the community. We work in three main issues. It's to serving as a catalyst for change for capacity building, policy change, and evidence-based initiatives. This whole mini-grant program is really a way to look at capacity building and policy change, and somewhat evidence-based initiatives. So this is just the whole thing behind the center. It's a very simple map that we look at evidence-based initiatives that addresses capacity building, then goes to policy change, and in the end, we have health equity, right? Pretty simple. So we work under the concept that historically local health departments have been asking the question, how do we reduce disparities in the distribution of disease and illness? Except for we don't like that much. So we want to change it. We want to eliminate inequities in the distribution of resources and power that shape health outcomes. That's where the mini grant program comes from. So we take that one away, and this is what we're going to be looking at. The idea is that if you hold dialogues in a community, that people start to talk about what's going on in their community, that they create action plans, and they create action plans for their own community to improve equitable outcomes. So I'm going to stop and give a little teeny tiny bit of history. So we, a couple years ago, the department got a grant for $400,000, and this is what this is about, for Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities. What that did is let us create this focus in 12 communities that were disproportionately affected by poor health outcomes. So from that, at the Center for Health Equity, we said, all right, we want to go into these areas too, and we want to hyper-focus, if you will. So we picked 5 focus communities from this. These 12 communities actually have defined our major focus of the health department for the last 2 years and are likely to define it for the next 5 years. These are just, if you don't know Louisville, we're right on a river. This is just the edge of it. Louisville and Jefferson County merged together about 3 years ago. So the areas that we're working in are the former city neighborhoods, and they're called the urban core now. So I'm going to show you 3 maps pretty quickly, not because they're the be-all and end-all of what's going on. So you ask, where are you going to do the work, and how did you get these focus communities? So we looked at income as an issue. We looked at education. The red means it's lower education. The red means lower income. We looked at what was going on with crime rates. You notice a pattern? So we didn't want to just stop with what are the problems. And so if I kept going, we have tons and tons of maps. If I kept going, you'd see cardiovascular disease, you see obesity, you see all the things that you're trying to fix in communities, right? So that's not the be-all and end-all. We want to understand in the communities what's the capacity that exists and who wants to play with us. Because in a capacity-building way, they have to want us to come and work in the community. So we talked to people. We looked at the structures that existed in the community. We wanted to understand where there was momentum and civic engagement. We wanted to understand if people were overburdened. Is there too much happening in a community? In fact, we decided not to go into 2 really active communities because there were so many things going on. And we wanted to know who was focusing on youth. So basically, we went at this a little bit a different way. When I first got at the center, we were going out holding health equity dialogue. So the 6 of us on staff went out and talked to people about what's going on. We decided that instead of doing that, we wanted to train community members to go out and do that. We wanted to put a little bit of money behind it. A little bit is the key word here. We have $50,000 total. So we have 5 communities we're going into. So a year, $10,000, not much money. So what we decided to do was try to give the money out and also do a lot of technical assistance and training. So these were the things, if people applied for it, they had to say, we're going to do these things, and they needed to tell us how. How are you going to engage your communities? This is just a general timeline. It's something you would see with most grants. What you notice is that we did a grant writing workshop because we were working with folks who weren't used to writing grants. We worked really hard to try to get folks in to apply for grants who weren't used to it. A lot of the folks are not nonprofits, and this is just the timeline for it. So we got news coverage, yay. but I wanted to show you more importantly who got funded. So these, what you'll see across this chart is you'll notice that there's 5 entities that got funded. What I did was create different columns that shows characteristics. Some have fiscal agents. Some were nonprofits themselves. One of these was a large health group, a large hospital system. Some were in the neighborhood, exactly sitting right in the neighborhood. And actually, one of them was an outsider that served the neighborhood. Some have staff that are paid, some have staff that are volunteers, and one's a large corporation. So as you can imagine, there's different capacities coming in and different outcomes coming out. One of the things on here that might be of interest is noting that we funded something called Norton Healthcare. One of our requirements is you had to have a budget less than $500,000. And with the caveat, or that you were partnering with the community organization that was applying as the lead, and you were going to serve as support for them. So in this case, really, while it says Norton Healthcare, St. Rita is the driver, and Norton comes in and supports them. Of the communities that we focused on, four are neighborhood-based communities. They're back in your maps. And one is the Latino-Hispanic community. And that's because we hadn't done much work there, and there needed to be more. So health equity dialogues. Most people are familiar with unnatural causes. We created a book to work from to hold dialogues. We trained folks in what this was, what it's like to go out in community and hold the dialogues. We had two different training sessions because, quite frankly, we made a mistake in the beginning. And we did a two-day session in the middle of the day, in the middle of the work week, and not the folks who would be facilitating couldn't get there. So we did a weekend training. So these are the list of objectives that we hope that people would come out with when they finish the training. The gist is that they would feel more comfortable with health equity and that they would feel comfortable holding these conversations because they're not easy. So these are just some of the things that we talked about. This is the framework when we talked about social determinants, and we tried to figure out a framework that people could kind of catch on to. It's the idea that it's a tree. What you feed in the roots of a tree come out how healthy or not, and that's what a community looks like. Oops, I forgot it makes that noise. So part of this conversation was, what is a healthy community? We asked that during the training, but what we're asking people to do is ask that in community. So part of that is having community folks go around and take pictures. We have some youth projects that do that in particular. This is one of them. So this young man who's 10, this is what he had to say. If my community were healthy, it would look like no people littering, people riding bikes, no people dealing drugs, kids playing at the parks, no gunshots. Parents and kids walking their dogs, no people smoking, parents taking their babies in a stroller to walk them around the park. Another youth put one together and he took a picture. This is a factory that's in his neighborhood, and he just said, "My neighborhood has many train tracks and a really big factory that does something. I don't know what. There's a church, a community center, but there's no store close to where I live." We also use these as examples of, whoops, skipped ahead, hold on a second. We're having technical difficulties. Okay. We also use digital storytelling as an example of ways that people could gain more information. So they hold their health equity dialogues, that's the first step. So the second step was to narrow what's your issue. Then the third step was to go out and find more information. This is one of the quotes that came from one of the health equity dialogues. It's interesting to me, where they were talking about food, that's the precursor to what was going on. And so they talked about, we probably eat some fried chicken as opposed to baked chicken, even though we know it's healthier. But it's because of our upbringing, our environments that we grew up under, that we hold on to those traditions. And they paused and said, and there's a lot of things that are affecting us now. A lot of it comes from our past. It's just upbringing. African Americans, we always kind of had a tradition of having the scraps. And if we stay in that environment, we still get the scraps. So there's this powerful movement in one sentence from one person that talks about personal responsibility. The first part is, we're eating, we're choosing what we're eating. They carry through the conversation, and they start to catch on to something, that the impact of the environment and the fact that they're getting really limited resources. So these were the issues that came up. These are pictures that were taken by some of the folks in the communities. These were pictures that were taken by some of our staff as we went out to hold dialogues. And in the communities, these are the five main issues they narrowed down to. This is one per community, because realizing $10,000, not much time. So abandoned housing, litter, limited food access, healthy food access, mental health, and violence. So this is part of a bigger picture. We realize that we don't have the capacity of six people, and as we're going through our own internal change at the department, even as a department, to really understand what's happening in community. So our first part of the strategy is the community engagement component. So holding health equity dialogues, not just by the staff, so we're talking our own talk and translating the community, but by community translating the community to us, then we get closer to real community engagement. we're doing community assessment, but the community is doing the community assessment in these particular neighborhoods. We're helping them with that to understand a little bit more of what it looks like, and then they do action planning. Part of this is fitting into a health equity report that we plan on releasing in draft at the end of this year, and then taking that around to have conversations and policy recommendations with the community. So we're taking the community's words, creating a health equity report. We, of course, have those statistics you throw in there. And then we're going to go back to community and say, what do you see? We're going to hold health equity dialogues a different way. What do you see in your communities, and what do you want to change? So then this is, we're looking probably a year out, maybe a year and a half, but the goal is to have a community health improvement plan that's not only for just those five focus neighborhoods, which we have a 3 to 5 year commitment with at the center and with the health department, but also a departmental strategic plan that incorporates the community's voice and not just the department's voice. So this is just one thing I wanted to show you about the outcomes. So one of the things we realized is $10,000, I mean, what are we really asking people to do? So with a budget for $10,000, what kind of things do you think that folks might have put in a budget? Most of these are small, community-based organizations. Some put staff time. That's fine. We let the budget be anything they want. Some people put stipends for the folks who came to the trainings. Some people put stipends for the folks who came to the dialogues. They put monies in for computers sometimes. It was whatever they felt like they needed to do this part. That's not enough cash. So then the commitment then is to work with them to find more resources, both internally and externally, to go into their community. So here's what we found. We've been able to use these conversations and this better understanding of communities to leverage more monies. Some of it were not applied for directly with those communities, not yet, because we're only 1 year into it. We got a $500,000 capital compassion grant that allows us to do youth development work. It allows us to work with youth organizations to increase their capacity to serve youth working around health equity. We were able to apply, and this wasn't the only leverage, we applied for putting communities to work grant, a $7.9 million federal grant, ERA grant, that lets us put some of these policies and strategies to work. And we received it. We received a $50,000 passport grant that's looking particularly at Hispanic Latino folks and letting them do digital stories so they can tell us more about their communities. And we also received three other grants for $20,000, $60,000, and $40,000 that focus back into these neighborhoods. So, lessons learned. There's a lot, and it's hard to talk about a whole process in about 15 minutes. But one of our biggest mistakes and one of our biggest challenges is having enough time, having enough staff time dedicated to it. Go back to the beginning. $10,000 changed the world. It's still not enough. And so ideally we thought that each of the staff members that was working in each community, a staff person per community, would have about 10 hours a week to do the work. And even at that, that wouldn't have been enough. They end up only really on average having about 2 or 3 hours, and they'll find these times where they're focused in a community or they're doing more. You've got to give more staff time. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You need to assess your own internal capacity. Where are you and your ability to do this work? Because if you can't do it seamlessly yourself, doing assessments, how do you work with community folks? When I was a youngster back in my 20s working in Appalachia, I learned that while I could do division, I could not teach people division. So that's one of the things you need to look at with your staff. Are you ready? Are you ready to do this work? And listen to feedback. Listen really quickly and turn around and do something. There was things we did something quickly. We redid the training. We did it at the wrong time. There was things we waited too long. We needed to respond quicker. And then that was part of the act on feedback. Be immediate and then commit to long term. So we're 1 year into it, and what we're doing is we're working for our second set of $50,000 just with these folks. But our long-term commitment is as a department to continue focusing in these communities on capacity building so that they're doing the work that they want done and we're able to step out. We're just trying to do a shift. And so that's it.